You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today is a good day. We are nearing the end of 2020, and wow, what a year it has been. Who would have thought of all of the unprecedented experiences we would be having with the quarantine, the COVID-19, just schools being e-learning and just job loss and just so much going on. So I just really want people to listen closely to the message that we have today from our very special guest, Dr. Greg Hammer. Before I introduce him, I want everyone to know that I am a daily user of CBD. I love CBD. What can I say? I've been using it daily for 2 years. I recommend it to my patients, to my family, to my friends, anyone who will listen, because I know that it is a holistic, organic, natural plant-based oil that helps our system, our endocannabinoid system, to maintain balance and really find that homeostasis. With everything going on, we really need the homeostasis in our minds, in our bodies, and just really a better mindset moving forward. And so with that said, if you're interested in learning more, go to my website at hemphappier.com. You can also find out more about me and the services that I provide, coaching and therapy at healthyminds.expert. So today I have Dr. Greg Hammer. Dr. Hammer is a pediatric intensive care physician, pediatric anesthesiologist, and professor at Stanford University School of Medicine. He is a member of the Stanford Well MD Initiative and chair of Wellness Committee for the California School of Anesthesiologists. He has been a visiting professor and lecturer on wellness at institutions worldwide and teaches GAIN to medical students, residents, and fellows at Stanford. Dr. Hammer is a health enthusiast and meditator, utilizing a non-duality and mindfulness-based approach, including the GAIN method. And Dr. Hammer is author of GAIN Without Pain, the Happiness Handbook for Healthcare Professionals. And this is the book that I tell you I think is going to change lives, because it is in need, indeed, right now is perfect timing. Welcome so much, Dr. Hammer. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule and being here to share knowledge with my listeners.
Thank you, Erica. It's wonderful to be with you.
So, you know, you can start with the journey that kind of brought you to this book, or you can start with this GAIN, the four-step acronym GAIN, in this path to personal resilience. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Okay, sure. I'm happy to talk about my journey. I've been a seeker all my life, as I'm sure many of your listeners are. They're always wondering, what is our role here on the planet? What is our purpose? What is the truth? And so that has always been of primary interest to me my whole life, my whole adult life. Excuse me. I started meditating when I was in an undergraduate at Northwestern University. I studied some Buddhism there, and I've been meditating off and on since then, although for the last 10 years, I would say on. And I realized about 10 years ago that the search for the truth, looking outward for elements of the truth, was in fact taking me away from the actual truth. And the truth is within us. And happiness is our true nature. And consciousness is what we're made of, what everybody is made of. We're all made of the same stuff of the universe and all that we can appreciate and imagine. So I found a teacher, Rupert Spira, who teaches non-duality. And so I've been sitting with him at retreat a couple of times a year since then. And I've been a wellness enthusiast my whole life as well. So I would say, you know, spiritual health, but also physical health. I ended up studying nutritional science as my major as an undergrad. And I've had a longstanding interest in nutrition. It's a major part of my intensive care practice because we tend to starve our poor little patients and they need good nutrition in order to heal whatever their malady is. And also sleep and exercise are just really important. So I think that sleep, exercise, and nutrition are sort of the components of the tripod on which our happiness and resilience rest. And I came to realize that there are really four components of resilience or happiness. And so I started giving talks about wellness locally, and then I think the lecture circuit sort of took a life of its own. And so I have been invited to give talks progressively around the US and around the world. Of course, that's on hold now with COVID. But speaking about wellness in medicine has become a passion and something that I talk about regularly. And as I talk to my trainees, their chief complaint, as it were, is that they don't have enough time to engage in what they consider to be wellness activities like yoga, et cetera. And also that they don't even have time to meditate. So I thought, well, listen, why don't I come up with a 3-minute meditation, ask them to set their intention the night before by setting their alarm 3 minutes earlier than they would have otherwise, get up in the morning, do their morning hygiene, whatever, open the shades, and find a comfortable place to sit for as little as 3 minutes to do a meditation. And I came up with an acronym that I think embraces the essential features of happiness and resilience. And that acronym is GAIN. I think it's helpful to have a way to remember things, sort of a checklist, as part of intensive care practice and anesthesiology practice. You're like an airline pilot. You have a checklist and you span from left to right around all the equipment in front of you or behind you and check that equipment to make sure everything is present and functioning. And so I think acronyms can be helpful. I will say that when I was studying Buddhism, for example, I found it difficult to remember the 10 steps to this or the 12 ways to that. So that's too many letters to make an acronym that long. So it just sort of came to me one day that GAIN, G-A-I-N, was a good acronym. And the elements of GAIN are familiar to everybody. And I think we would all appreciate that they're central to our resilience and happiness. And it starts with the G in GAIN for gratitude. And you know, Erica, as well as I do, that, you know, you can be blind and happy. You can be very poor and happy, but you won't see a person who is happy and ungrateful. So gratitude just seems to be inexorably linked to happiness. And indeed, we have so much for which to be grateful, even during the pandemic. You know, I just watched the CNN program on the 1918 influenza pandemic, and I'm a student of 20th century history, and so I've read quite a bit about that, including some wonderful books on the topic. And compared to 1918, 1919, we have it so much better. As bad as things are, they could always be worse. So, you know, upwards of 50 million people perished in that pandemic in 1918, and it could be as many as 100 million. I think it was very difficult back then. They didn't have the Johns Hopkins registry, so it was difficult for them to keep track. The population of the U.S. and I think the world was about 1/3 of what it is now. So if we sort of index those that number of deaths, say 50 million worldwide, it's really more equivalent to 150 and upwards now. So we certainly have had only a small fraction of that, as many deaths as we've had, which has been tragic. But we can be grateful that we don't have things worse. And we have tools that they didn't have back then. And even if we're physically isolated, especially during the holidays, we can be virtually connected with each other as you and I are now, and as we're connected to your listeners. And this is something that I'm grateful for. So there's always much for which to be grateful. And I think contemplating that for which we're grateful is the start of the gain meditation. And I think it's a good place to start.
Yeah, I just want to say gratitude is probably the most easiest and quickest way to elevate your vibration and put you in a more positive emotional state. So when you put gratitude at the top, I was just like, yep, right on.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, we can all, if we just sit and gaze at the stars or look at, you know, the beauty around us, if we're going for a walk, look at the trees, or even just sit comfortably and close our eyes and think about that for which we're grateful. As you suggested, it automatically elevates our mood and our consciousness because it brings us into the present moment. You know, we're not ruing things that happened in the past or being anxious about things happening or that may happen in the future. It being grateful for one thing brings us to the present moment, and that's where happiness lives. And unfortunately, I think there's two elements of our development that impair our ability to be happy. And one of those is that we have a negativity bias. So we tend to remember negative things and forget the neutral or positive things that happen to us or we experience. So this negativity bias is one. And the other is that we are really obsessed with the past and the future. And I consider our dwelling on the past and future either maladaptive or adaptive. So for example, it's adaptive to contemplate the past to the extent that we can learn from our mistakes and we can savor the wonderful memories that we have. And it's adaptive to think about the future, to put bread on the table, as it were, and also to look forward to happy times. So those are adaptive considerations. But unfortunately, with our negativity bias, we get stuck in maladaptive obsession with the past, and that brings regret and shame. And similarly with the future, our obsession often brings fear and anxiety. We tend to catastrophize. We think of the worst possible thing that could happen. And although in my profession as an intensive care physician and anesthesiologist, I do have to think of what the worst thing that can happen is so that I can make sure I prevent it. That is a practical adaptive consideration. Whereas for most of us in general in our lives, when we get stuck thinking about the future, we're just thinking about the worst thing that could happen and obsessing on that, even though that will probably never happen. Yeah. So anything that brings us into the present moment, I think, brings us into a more resilient and happy space. And that's really where we should spend as much time as possible.
Yeah. And I always say the only thing that we can control is our present state. The past is gone, so we can't do anything about it. The future is yet to come, so you're lucky enough if you get there. The only thing you can control is right now in this moment.
So, well, that's, you know, really the only moment we ever experience is right now,
yeah.
Right? The past and the future are just thoughts, and thoughts come and go. They sort of dash across the screen of our awareness and fade away. The only thing that we really experience is this moment. So let's bring ourselves to that current experience. That's what mindfulness is all about, right? Jon Kabat-Zinn defined mindfulness, and I'm paraphrasing, as an awareness of the present moment that is purposeful, in other words, that is intentional and non-judgmental. And those are actually the I and the N elements in gain, is intention and non-judgment. The A is acceptance. And we can't simply do what might be called a spiritual bypass and just imagine that everything is rosy. I think pain and suffering are part of our experience. And I think this includes the way we experience the world and the way we experience ourselves as part of the world. But, you know, there's pain and suffering in the world that, you know, really from the beginning of mankind. But over the centuries, you know, the resonance of pain and suffering that comes from slavery and war and famine and that which is going on now. I mean, people all over the world are starving. They're sick. They don't have enough medical care. They don't have enough food to eat. They're cruel to each other in many ways over differences in religious philosophy, et cetera. So this kind of pain and suffering reverberates around us. And then we all have pain and suffering that's more personal. For example, I lost my 29-year-old son a little over 3 years ago. So when I sit and do my GAIN meditation, I first get in touch with the breath, which I think is central to many kinds of meditation. It's always with us. It's always accessible. And focus on slowing down the in-breath and then pausing and then without effort, letting the breath go and slowing it down. This slows down our heart rate. It brings our adrenaline levels down, our cortisol levels down. It brings us into the moment. So we get in touch with our breath, and then we transition to a contemplation of our gratitude. And for me, that always starts with the fact that I'm here today, that the day itself is a gift, and I'm grateful for that. And I sort of shoot the list of wonderful things in my life for which I'm grateful. And this is while I'm also very much in touch with the breath. And these ideas become vague, or they may be fairly specific. It doesn't matter. You just let them flow. And then I flow to acceptance. And the idea here, Erica, is that we focus briefly on the pain and suffering that we experience, that we all experience. And we actually can envision opening our chests and opening our hearts and bringing this suffering closer and closer and closer until we merge with it, till it becomes part of our heart, till we can ask ourselves the question, can I live with this pain forever? And the answer is yes. And usually when we do that, we realize it's not as bad as we thought when we were resisting that contemplation of pain and suffering. And I have a formula in the book, which is that suffering equals pain times resistance. We love formulas in medicine. And we have a pain, which is there, which we need to accept. And acceptance can be considered the opposite of resistance. So if we have this pain and we resist it, our suffering is magnified. If we have this pain and we accept it, our suffering is diminished. And so that's really the essence of acceptance, bringing that pain and suffering closer and closer, acknowledging it, embracing it, welcoming it, rather than resisting it.
Yeah. And I think it makes it easier to process and then release it. You know, once you can sit with it and experience it, it no longer has control over you. It's you now saying, it's you now saying, I accept it. This is a part of my journey and my experience. And I'm grateful for what I do have. I'm grateful that I still have this present moment. And I always say, as long as you're alive today, then you've got unlimited possibilities to look forward to or to be grateful for.
Absolutely. And we all have that. And the I is the next consideration. The I is intention or purposefulness. And the idea here, Erica, is that, you know, we have this negativity bias, we have this obsession with the past and the future, but we actually can control the way our minds work. Our minds remain plastic throughout our lives. That is, we can train them to think differently. We can actually rewire our brain away from this negativity bias, for example, by intentionally embracing the positive in our lives, that for which we're grateful, for example. So, you know, a wonderful example is how intention can change the way we think is a program at Duke University called Three Good Things. And what they've shown by having tens of thousands of people enrolled in their study is that simply by thinking of three good things that happen during the day as we get ready for bed. So we're turning down the bed sheets, we're putting on our pajamas or whatever we wear or don't wear. And during those moments, we think about three good things that happened during the day. For example, today, I'll think, first of all, the beautiful clear sky and vibrant colors I'm looking at right now outside my window. I'll remember the conversation you and I had both before we were on the air and now. And I'll go for a nice bike ride today. I'll see my girlfriend later. So I have many things today I can think of as I go to prepare to go to bed. And just by thinking of at least three good things before we go to sleep, actually the researchers at Duke have shown that we sleep better and we become happier. So we have to guide our thoughts with intention, just like we prepare our bodies and our muscles for a 10K race or a marathon. We can take charge of our thoughts. We just have to exercise those intentions every day, even for a brief period of time as part of the GAIN meditation and subsequently during the day. And three good things is a great practice.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
And the N is non-judgment. And, you know, as you are well aware, our minds are constantly comparing things in our world and comparing one friend to another or ourselves to others. And because of our negativity bias, again, we often compare ourselves unfavorably. Oh, that person is smarter than I am. That person is better looking or, you know, more athletic. And we've done this all of our lives since we were at least adolescents and probably younger. And so this way of judging and comparing is ingrained in the way we think. And once again, through intention, we can teach ourselves to look at the world without judgment. We don't have to label everything as good or bad. We can see things as they truly are. And when we do this, and we start with a GAIN meditation in the morning, pretty soon it's only natural that we can look at ourselves without judgment. And that is the most difficult thing. But the good news is there's a path to that recognition that we can accept ourselves without judgment. We don't have to consider ourselves good or bad. We simply are the person we are as the world is the world it is. And it's very simple. And so these four elements of GAIN are all very simple, very intuitive. And by practicing this process, we're actually rewiring the way we think into a more well-adjusted, resilient way of thinking and experiencing.
I love that. I definitely love the non-judgment part because I think as a psychologist and practicing over 23 years, the one thing that comes up, regardless of who you are, what you do, what culture you come from, anything, we all feel unworthy or we all feel not enough. And I think we have to begin to love ourselves as we are without judgment.
That's
why can't
exactly
we just
right.
allow ourselves to grow? And I love that you say we're on a continued journey. So as long as we're here living in this time and space, we are continuing to grow and learn and evolve. And that means we're going to have, you know, challenges. We're going to have suffering. We're going to have pain. We're going to have excitement. We're going to have joy. But just be an experience and stop judging. We're all human.
That's beautiful. I love it. So true. You know, there are many ways of looking at these principles, but I think whatever your religious philosophy or a religious philosophy, the elements of gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment are just inherent. And so really there's a convergence of thought processes from all religious beliefs. And you know, it's beautiful. There are certain truths in our lives and let's embrace them.
Yeah. So do you have any words of wisdom on how we can help avoid the burnout? I told you this book comes at perfect timing because everyone is really feeling overstressed and overtaxed with the e-learning and with the virtual platform that we're all still trying to work off of. Any suggestions on that and how to manage?
Well,
that?
I would just go to the GAIN principle. So go to a 3-minute GAIN meditation in the morning and recognize that stress really has, although in the very short term may be advantageous or adaptive, it's a very maladaptive process when it persists for more than a short period of time. So we see a toddler fall in a swimming pool, our the epinephrine in our bloodstream or the adrenaline shoots up, our cortisol shoots up. That helps us actually spring into action and rescue that toddler. But when that kind of increase in adrenaline and cortisol persists for more than a short period of time, it has negative effects on our immune system, on our cardiovascular system, our sleep is impaired, and then we're tired, we don't exercise, we reach for unhealthy, sugary or fatty comfort foods. It's a spiral. So we need to realize that stress is really deleterious, and we can let go of that stress if we're intentional about it. So, you know, I know this is not a magic bullet, but we can move in the direction of letting go of stress and being more resilient and happy through embracing these principles in whatever form that takes in your life.
Yeah. And I love the starting the day with the 3-minute meditation, ending the day with the 3 good things that happen in your day. To me, that's intention as you begin, intention or reflection of gratitude as you end. And indeed, you do sleep better. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So where can my listeners get the book, learn more about you and the research that you're doing, and any other last words of wisdom I would love for you to share?
Well, thank you, Erica. My website is greghammermd.com. That's all lowercase, greghammermd.com. There's a lot of media on there. Probably this interview will be on there eventually. A lot of fun stuff on the website. And also there's a link to the book, which is on Amazon. And it's easily accessible either as a Kindle version or a paper book. And more to come. I'm working on, got my second book done, which is just a primer on the game process for everybody. And then I'm working with a teenager in Florida who teaches mindfulness to kids. And we're going to do something together. So more to come, and that's the website. And, you know, I appreciate your bringing that up.
Thank you. Any other last words of wisdom that you want to share with my listeners as we wrap up?
Well, I would say just, you know, think of the gain elements, and this pandemic will come to an end and life goes on, and there's a lot of beauty in our lives now, and more of that to come for sure. So let's be present and enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely think reflecting on and being grateful for all that we have learned in the journey of this 2020 year, and just being present with yourself, not judging yourself, loving yourself. You are enough unconditionally. And we're all connected. We're all human. And dealing with mental wellness, physical wellness, spiritual wellness is something that we all are striving towards. And so I just really thank you for this book, because I think it's absolutely necessary, especially right now with what we're dealing with. And just looking forward to a new year of really being more mindful, practicing that meditation, being grateful, intentional, accepting of ourselves, and non-judgmental. So, I mean, I think you hit it all. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for taking your time and being here. I feel honored. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. It was wonderful being with you. Happy to join anytime.
Okay. You have a good holiday.
Likewise.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.